As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder what you think, what you thought when people start talking about creativity or being creative. And I wonder how you felt when I said that's what we were thinking about this morning when I mentioned it at the beginning of the service. Maybe your mind immediately leaps to fabric or paint or wood or Minecraft or whatever it is, wherever you are creative and things you could do with them. Perhaps the phrase creative accounting springs to mind. Perhaps you shut down completely thinking that you're not creative and that whatever I can say just doesn't apply to you because you're not creative. Perhaps there are feelings of frustration for you that church doesn't seem to have space for you to be able to express your gifts of creativity. However you react, however you're feeling about that thought of creativity and being creative, we are going to explore it this morning, and particularly I want to unpick some of those reactions, positive and negative, to see that if we can find a way forward together where we can make use of this gift of creativity to the church. And the first thing I want to say is that I do believe that the urge and desire to create is universal in humanity. It's universal. Let me give an example of why I think this. One of the most common calls that a child can make is, come and see what I've made. Come and look what I've made. Whether it's mum or dad or grandma or granddad or carer or brother or sister, come and look what I've made. Whether it's Lego or stickle bricks or mud or paint or whatever, bits of stick and string. Children from a really young age want to create things. They want to show other people what they've created. Up and down the country, bridges are decorated with paintings created by the children of the house. Seems to me that this all points towards an inbuilt desire to make a mark, to create something that wasn't there before. But actually, I don't think this should surprise us. In the very first book of the Bible, in the creation account that we find in Genesis 1, in verse 27, we read this. So God created human beings in his own image. God created human beings in his own image. So we all, as human beings, bear God's image. We all created in God's image. And what is God like? Well, what were the first few words of that sentence? God created. God created. What is God like? God is creative. We're created in God's image. We're creative. This theme is repeated in the reading that Barry read from us from John's account of the good news of Jesus. Through Jesus, through him, all things were made. It's by looking at Jesus that we see God. Through Jesus, all things were made. God is creative. We are made in God's image. So we are a creative kind. It's fundamental to our humanity. Over and above this, and I believe that's baseline creativity. Everybody has this desire and urge to be a creative in some sense. But there are specific gifts of creativity given to specific people in different areas of life. And we had a good example of that in the reading that Barbie read to us from Exodus, the account of the people of God's escape from slavery, from captivity in Egypt. And we hear about these gifts, and these are described as gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's one of the first lists of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives in the Bible. I wonder what you'd expect to find. What kind of list of things spring to mind when somebody says gifts of the Spirit? I wonder if the first things that spring to your mind are metalworking and jewellery making, wood carving, weaving and other crafts. There they are, one of the first gifts of the Spirit in the Bible. That's what they are. These are the gifts of God, of the Holy Spirit, given to enable and encourage the worship of the people of God. In that case, it was decorating the tabernacle, making incense for the worship space, all the the clothing of the priests, just like the gifts that we read about in the New Testament, which are the ones perhaps we're more familiar with, things like prophecy and words of knowledge and tongues and healing, which are also given up, given to the people of God to build up the people of God. And I wonder if sometimes in the church we've not seen the artistic, creative gifts of the Holy Spirit that are detailed in the Old Testament as important as the ones that seem more spiritual that are listed in the New Testament. As we read on in the Bible through Psalms, we come to those who are gifted in creativity with music. And you could argue the whole of the Bible itself is a demonstration of the creativity of narrative, of writing, of storytelling. So, if these two things are true, we're all created in God's image, and therefore we all have this baseline creativity, and that some of us have specific gifts of creativity in specific areas. Well, that seems, maybe I'm done. Is that all there is to say? Well, it seems to me, in my experience, that no, because I'm not sure that all of us believe that we are creative, and not all of us are given the space that we need to express the creative gifts that God has given us. So why might this be, and what can we do about it? How can we live in the reality of who God has created us to be? Why don't we believe we're creative? Well, the sad truth is some of us have had the creativity discouraged out of us. We were told one too many times as a youngster that our painting was rubbish, that we were too messy, that we were too tone deaf. It just wasn't the time or the place for it. The writer Adrian Plass writes about graffiti on the heart. Things that were said to us that when we were younger that have stayed with us. It was like they're graffitied onto our heart, and however hard we scrub, we just can't get them off. And this can leave us with a fear of what people say about us, say to us, fear of failure, so we don't take risks to be creative. A belief that whatever we do, it isn't good enough. And sometimes perhaps we look at those who do have those specific gifts of creativity in different areas and we're intimidated by what they produce, and that discourages in our own attempts, which is a shame really, because in the ideal world, it would encourage us. We get discouraged, perhaps we're even a bit jealous. As always, comparison is the thief of joy. So, what can we do about that? Well, we can tell God how we feel about it. We can ask God to heal us, to scrub away that graffiti. The Holy Spirit's a much more effective graffiti remover than we are. And we might share this with a trusted friend and ask them to pray with us about it, to pray for us. Now, the truth is, it's likely to take some time, especially if the graffiti was written some time ago, and especially if it was scratched deep into who we are. But I do believe that God can heal us of that graffiti, scrub it away, and release us through his promises. And it might help us to focus on what God thinks about our creativity, and to focus on that and the product of it. There's a recurrent theme in the Bible, it seems to me, and it's summarised in a phrase in the New Testament in the letter written by James, who was Jesus' brother. And it says this: God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. And it seems to me that one of the outworkings of this theme, of this principle, is that God is more delighted in us expressing our creativity as an expression of worship and of our God image bearing nature than actually the output. Even if the output is objectively not great art, then God is much more pleased with that than he is with the most accomplished musical composition or sculpture or piece of art or anything created with pride and self-regard. God looks at the heart. Where is the heart? If the heart is a heart of worship and focus on God, then the product of the creativity doesn't matter very much. else can we do? Well, as a community, we think and encourage one another. Where we see signs of creativity, we can build them up rather than tear them down. We can commend and praise. We can encourage. We talk about one of our values being exploring. Two of our other values, celebrating, loving one another. We can put those values into practice when we see creativity at work and celebrate it. We can encourage it. Now, it's true that there are times in church life when we might have to say to someone, actually, I'm not sure that's the area that you're particularly gifted in. I'm not sure that's going to be your area of ministry. You might want to explore other things. But we're not called to deceive each other, but we are called to speak truth in love. In love. And if there's something positive we can find to say, then we should say that. Let's build each other up. And we can also, as a community, choose to create spaces for creativity. And it seems to me that this connects a bit with what Nick was saying last week about risk-taking. You see, creating spaces for creativity can feel risky. Perhaps to say to our musicians, we'd love you to write songs that we can use in our services. We'd like to partner with you in discerning the shape our musical worship takes. We're willing to learn what you write. It might feel risky. There might be music that's not to our style. It's not as guaranteed as downloading and using the latest Hillsong stuff. But actually, we might have gifts of creativity that can be released. It might be a risk. Wouldn't that be great? To say to the artist, we'd like you to paint and sculpt and collage in our worship, to decorate our worship spaces as we worship. We'll take the risk of some mess and some untidiness. And I will even take the risk of glitter getting spilt on the carpet. I even say to our craftspeople, feel free to bring your crafts and offer them as part of our worship. I have a friend, a really good friend, I got to know at theological college, and she used to bring her embroidery to chapel, to morning prayer, and stitch as she prayed. Every stitch a prayer, and every prayer a stitch. I know that some of our knitters and crocheters have made prayer shawls, and they've prayed as they've made them, and they've been given to folk who aren't very well to wrap them in our prayers. But wouldn't it be great if they could come and knit and crochet those when we're gathered back together? So we're all worshipping and praying together. It's a consolidated act of worship and love that we can share together. Now, of course, at the moment, we're not meeting physically. But actually, I wonder if that gives us permission to try some new things. And actually, the risk is less at the moment. People can do things in their living rooms at home they might not feel comfortable bringing into the church building. But let's experiment. Why not experiment at home? If you already have something that feels creative for you, why not do it whilst taking part in online worship? Not to distract you, but to bring that aspect of your life into the worship space and see what it means to offer it to God as part of your worship, as your prayer and your learning. If you paint or draw or create things on Minecraft or whatever it is you do, creative modelling, do it as you're worshipping with us on a Sunday morning and see what different perspectives that brings to both things. And if you don't feel you are creative, perhaps just do something really simple. Maybe get some paper and some coloured pencils and just doodle. As you take part in the online service, don't worry about the quality of what you do, the output. Just make some marks and see what happens. You might be surprised. Maybe have a pen and paper and just write down impressions and feelings and see if they'll weave together into some kind of poem, perhaps. Do a bit of writing. Just give yourself permission to try something in this new season. And of course, our worship and our discipleship is much, much more than what we do on a Sunday morning. So the flip side of bringing our creative expression into what we do on our Sunday morning is to be aware of God's presence in our creative spaces. And that might, for you, it might be at work. You might feel like you're creative in what you do at work. Hopefully not creative accounting in the worst sense, but you might be a computer programmer. You create computer programs, or an ad writer, and you create whatever you do in your work that might be creative. Or it might be your garden, creating beautiful displays. It might be in your kitchen, creating food for your family. It could be all kinds of things. The computer, the sewing machine, wherever that is, whenever you're making, wherever you're expressing that creative bit of the image of God in you, take a breath or two. Be aware of God's presence. Offer what you're doing to God. God is a creative God who created us to be creative. So I encourage us, let's be open to exploring what that means for each of us as individuals and as a community. And let's live in the freedom that Jesus won for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen.